A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell here with you on the program. Pilgrim. Yeah, the Utah Jazz. I'm trying to do a comparison game with the preseason of other teams and the Jazz's preseason. Because if you want to look at it like it's a dire preseason, fine. I just want you to remember, no one ever talks about the preseason except for during the preseason. No one is going to go, yeah, but in the preseason we saw this coming. Nobody says that. Unless the Jazz don't, and here's your favorite word.
The key word of the night is gel.
It's like one of these things Scott hates. I can't stand hearing everybody go, are they gelling? Gelling, gelling?
Well, you hear from the players that things are far ahead of schedule.
I've gelled. We are completely gelled right now.
Right, and you hear it from Quinn Snyder. And you know where you can take your gel and you can
put it in your hair, man.
What rhymes with gel?
But I'm telling you, when was the last time anybody ever referred to the preseason as anything?
But here's what I'm concerned about is all of the public faces. Oh, yeah, it's amazing. It's like, you know, just what the potential of us and all the things that we can do. And you sit and watch it on in a game and you go, I'm not seeing any potential. I'm not seeing anything. I'm seeing like Joe Ingles like turning into Grayson Allen. It's like
tripping fools.
Yeah. It's just so I'm just concerned. I really am concerned because I have too many expectations for the Jazz this year. I do. And I'm sorry that you're just negative Nancy and that they're just not that good and they don't have superstars.
I did not say that they weren't that good.
Yes, I said this
is gonna be their best year they've had in the last four, and they've had some pretty good years in the last three or four. But they do not have a superstar.
That they win in the first round and that they exit the second round again? That's what you sound like. You're just like, yeah.
No, I think they could go to the Western Conference Finals. I don't think they have what it takes to win the Western Conference Finals. And look, I mean, but what if somebody blooms into a superstar?
What if they lose?
What do you mean?
What if they lose?
So that's the thing is, if they lose a bunch of games, and let's say that by the middle of the year, they're kind of a just above 500 team. The expectations are really, really high for this team, and so it would be looked at as pretty abysmal. And I think that Jazz fans are really, 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 I mean, they're tired of – the thing is you're so close to being out of the middle of the pack. You're so close to being something – I mean, Utah's being talked about. Utah is on the lips of your Shaquille O'Neals and your Charles Barkleys and, you know, talking about all the guys on ESPN.
I can't get a visual of being on the lips of, like, Shaquille.
Man, Utah Jazz, man.
I just can't get that.
But that's what's funny.
Charles Barkley.
What I'm saying is they talk about the Jazz as a really good team. They talk about it, and they're like, I'm really looking good. I'm looking forward to this team. I get it.
But it's mentioned fourth after the other teams in the West. What if the Jazz have a bad year?
So if the Jazz have a bad year, and this is a question you asked before the break, and it was, what if the Jazz are losing?
Which is worse?
Which is worse? If the Jazz are losing or if BYU is losing, what fan base is the worst?
Yeah, which one has it the worst?
Or has it the worst?
Yeah.
That's a really good – well, because BYU is right now in the middle of losing.
And it doesn't look good.
And it doesn't feel good. It does not feel good.
So this is a recurring thing that's happening over and over.
See, and that's the thing is that I think that BYU fans can't have them worse than you Jazz fans. Because when the Jazz are losing, that's like the whole state is mourning. when BYU's losing, you have part of the state, you have a good almost half of the state mourning, and then you have the other half pointing and laughing. And see, that, but a lot of those same people who are laughing that BYU is losing are just a bunch of Jazz fans too that are weeping if they're losing.
See, I think
does that make sense.
I don't agree with you.
What do you mean?
I think it's different. I think it's absolutely
no
worse
way.
For a BYU fan to go through what they're going through now than if the Jazz were bad.
Why? No,
it's really
the
simple.
NBA versus college football. It's not even close.
No,
A mediocre college team and their fan base being sad is worse than the Jazz losing and their fan base being sad?
And you just answered the question for me. You answered.
What are you talking about?
Because here's a team. There's no foreseeable way out of this for BYU. Like, they don't have a conference to win a championship with. They apparently have struggles with the limitations of recruiting. They're going to struggle every year to be 500 or better, or just above better than 500 based on the schedule that they have. And there's no foreseeable way out of this for a BYU fan. If you're a Jazz fan and the Jazz have a down year, look what the Jazz did after this. I mean, I thought last year was abysmal. I didn't think it was a great year for the Jazz. I thought they way underperformed based on the previous year. And they were ousted in the first round of the playoffs this year?
Right.
And I don't even think they won a game, or maybe they won a game or two.
Just that one.
Right, but they were never in it. They were never in the playoffs. And guess what they can do? They can go out in the offseason. They have free agency. They can go bring in a Mike Conley. They can go bring in some of these other Bojan Bogdanovic and some of these other players who apparently are good. They have a draft. They're not limited in how they can recruit. I mean,
the short term sadness of a team can get turned around real quick, a lot quicker in the NBA than it could be in BYU's case.
I think it would be abysmal if you're a BYU fan because there's no hope for the future. That's the scary part.
That sounds terrible.
But it's true though, right? I mean.
No, there's hope.
It's hope, and then all of a sudden next year comes.
The hope is Zach Wilson will enter into the transfer portal.
Do you know what the definition of insanity is?
Stop with this whole thing.
I know, but
thing over and over again.
And expecting a different result. BYU's doing the same thing over and over and over again, and it ain't changing. It's not changing.
So, okay. But in the Jazz's case, I love the hypothetical of if. And I guess it's based off of this quote unquote terrible preseason the Jazz have had. So doing an early, what are the odds? What are the odds that the Jazz go actually 0-4? Let's say they lose this preseason game tomorrow night I think they're playing the Trailblazers.
Is it their last preseason game?
Last preseason game.
Oh. They don't have much of a preseason.
No, they only play four games. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
They play so much and it just does not matter.
And the first month of the season they're gonna be mediocre and play like crap. And then they'll kind of, I don't know.
Portland, by the way, has looked not very good in the preseason either. They're 1-2 in the preseason. The Jazz are 0-3.
So the Jazz win this game and they're 1-3, and Portland's 1-3.
Right.
And both of these teams don't make the playoffs.
Oh then. Boy, you're already ranking them by their preseason.
No.
If we ranked them, I want to look at. I wish we could. I mean, you can see it, but what's funny is that right now on NBA, like NBA.com and the NBA and the ESPN. The NBA standings, they have the preseason results as standings. But the thing is, and so it's weird to see the Jazz at the very bottom of the West with the San Antonio Spurs and the Dallas Mavericks and the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Portland Trailblazers all tied up. And by the way, the Golden State Warriors, who also have one win and two losses in the preseason. Who cares?
The Golden State's not going to be any good this year.
Oh, boy.
All these teams you've told me that are bad,
They're
supposed to be bad.
Yeah, right. The Phoenix Suns are ahead of the Golden State Warriors by four slots.
They have Ricky Rubio now. They're probably going to be a lot better.
Oh, my goodness.
You know why I'm doing this, don't you?
To harass me?
No.
Because then you're going after BYU fan, too. BYU fan is...
No, I just realized how... If I was a BYU fan, I would be.
I
would be seriously concerned, and not with the coach, with just the whole process and where it is. It would really, really concern me.
Would there be some version of higher up people losing their jobs and Kalani keeping his job? Like, could Tom Holman be let go?
Like apostles? You mean?
No.
I don't think they get fired.
No, I'm saying like. Tom Holmo losing his job and them saying, you have been the problem. Because the higher up people see, you know, the university president and the board, they see and they go, hey, what if we make a change at, is the problem at the athletic director position rather than at the coaching position? The problem with that is that I saw the coaching firsthand on Saturday down in Florida.
And it wasn't
didn't good. Look good.
Yeah.
Did not look good. All right, we're taking a break, coming back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled. You don't want to miss it. We've got our two-minute drill coming up. Oh, last couple segments of the show. Stay with us.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.